May each of us be held in kindness and support whatever our experience is. And to know that we don't have to open to any experience that feels too difficult. We can just allow however it is. We're beginning simply by choosing to be present, choosing to pay attention. And that's the essential magic of mindfulness. And the Buddha talked particularly about wise attention, to notice where we're placing our attention. And in these days and times in our culture, the tendencies can be because we're encouraged to place our attention on what's wrong, what's negative. We're constantly being shown images and hearing words of things that are painful and difficult. Maybe that triggers things from our own past that are difficult. And then for some of us, when it's painful, we're seduced into moving towards sense pleasures to avoid having to feel. And so we get caught and propelled towards negative and then seduced into a positive that doesn't soothe the negative. So it's about what are we choosing to nourish or to avoid? And the Buddha taught wise attention. Wherever we put our attention, that's really what we're cultivating. That's what we're filling our mind with. And so he talked about the four wise efforts that some of you are very familiar with. The first two are about avoiding, in the first place, things that cause suffering or lead to harm, avoiding them. And if we weren't able to avoid them, we got carried into them, then learning how to abandon them, how to get out of it, how to do a U-turn and take a different street, whatever it is. So those are two significant ways to avoid and to abandon. But then equally cultivating what's nourishing, positive, skillful. What leads to well-being, cultivating, and then maintaining. And so those would be the things: kindness, compassion, generosity, respect, joy, all the things that we can do to support and nourish ourselves. And so wise effort is about balance. So it's not about avoiding what's happening in the world and say, I'm only going to be with what's pleasant. It's about noticing a balance of where we're placing our attention and is this leading to calm, peace, well-being, ease for myself and for the people around you. So they're both equally important. But the balance is important. And right now, for a lot of us, that balance has been upset. We've been inundated with negative and pressured into looking for positive that ends up being negative because it doesn't allow us to process what's difficult. And so our practice is gradually helping us turn towards the difficulties so they can be embraced and healed. And at the same time, building the positive qualities that will help us do that. And one of the things that I've felt has been helpful to me is to pay attention in the world to what is positive and beautiful and supportive. To see that just as there are all these acts of terrorism and disrespect and betrayal and ignorance and greed and on and violence, there are also innumerable amazing acts of compassion and connection. There is so much good in the world. And to really pay attention to that, to feed ourselves with that, not as a form of avoidance, but as nourishing, this capacity is here for goodness. I discovered a number of months ago a website, and it's called coronavirus.org. Karuna is the Pali word for compassion. And so it's coronavirus.org. And I'd really encourage you, if you haven't already, sometime later today, to check it out. They have many volunteers who are collecting every day acts of compassion, generosity, and sharing. And when I looked a few days ago, this was one that stood out for me. This was in a hospital somewhere in the States. I don't know where. And there was a housekeeping cleaning person, Rosara Quinteros, who would clean the rooms for people. And there was a man who was very, very ill, seriously ill. And of course, no one could visit him. And he was giving up. He was desperate. And she would go in, and even though she didn't speak much English, and he didn't understand, you know, her language, she would tell him, keep fighting for your life. You keep fighting for your life. And then she would chat to him, you know, not minding whether he really understood, but she would just go around his room, cleaning it, and she would look him in the eyes, and she would come in the next day, you keep fighting. There you are, I can see you're keeping on fighting. And he started really looking forward to her visits because she was seeing him as a person and nobody else really was, you know? And they built a bond together. And he did get better. And they formed a friendship. And she said afterwards that when someone is treated with love and compassion, language isn't a barrier. And I just found that inspiring. And it's just something simple. It doesn't have to be a great hero or heroine's acts of compassion. There's so many small acts all over the world. And they have lists of young people and, you know, they have all sorts of categories. I could get very excited about this. But what I realized was I needed that inspiration to read that and not to be always hearing what political stuff that's discouraging, race, anti-race, you know, I don't have to go on, but not to always be hearing about despair, to know that there are people who care, like many of, like all of us. There's a lovely quote by Maya Angelou, and she says, I've learned that people will forget what you said, forget what you did, but they'll never forget how you made them feel. And that's like Rosara Quinteros. He didn't forget how she made him feel, even if she didn't know everything that she said. That got transmitted. And we can do that for ourselves. We can be giving ourselves compassionate, caring, supportive inner speech rather than judging. You should be over this by now. You should do this. You should do that. I love that phrase by Fritz Perl, don't should on yourself, but just caring. There was another example, because we can think that things don't change, they're continuing to be negative. This was also on this website, that Boston declared racism a public health emergency. And they had a new initiative, this is very recent, where 20% or $12 million worth of police overtime funds were reallocated to community programs for youth, for homelessness, for people struggling with the effects of inequality, and so forth. Because it says the impact, the health impacts of historic, probably systemic racism are clear in the COVID-19 numbers. We can make differences, and people are doing. It's not all negative. Joanna Macy says, compassion asks you not to be afraid to be part of the world. When you are that wide open, you see that the grief you feel is just the other side of love. And we mourn for what we love. And so to honor that, we're honoring what we love. And it's not, the practice shows us, it's not the grief and the fear and the anger and the sorrow that are numbing, but our reaction to them that's numbing. And sometimes people who've been significantly traumatized need to have time when they don't open to those feelings. It's not safe yet. They may need to build resources. And as I'm saying that, I'm stroking my chest. You know, it's honoring. I don't have the capacity right now to open to difficult feelings and to let that be, oh, this is how it is. Comfort is needed. Because when we do this, hold ourselves with kindness, the nervous system begins to take that in. And we can feel that as caring. And that's the reaction that's needed, the response that's needed is caring. And we start to see with time, what's the response that's most helpful right now? Sometimes we need to use our practice to feel more peaceful and comfortable and avoid unpleasant. But we want to be able to heal it. We don't want to be forced to look at unpleasant in a way that's re-traumatizing or that glorifies or sensationalizes. We want to gradually be able to open in a way that feels safe. Someone asked a question in the chat about how when emotions come up, sometimes we can just be with the feeling in the body and just be mindful of it and be aware of it arising and passing. And other times we could look at what's underneath it, explore it, see where the attachment is that's triggering it. And both of those are useful. There are times when we can be aware of an emotion and come to the body, and we know we're not feeding it with a story, and it will just pass. And that's all that needs to happen. We're aware of it, and it passes. Other times, we're aware of it, we've come out of the story, and it ain't passing. It's persisting, it's getting bigger or doing whatever it is. Maybe it's getting more distressing. That would be a useful time to go a little deeper. Where am I caught right now? What am I holding on to? To just look at what's triggering this and to settle a little deeper. And so we learn to balance our practice ourselves. How am I holding what's happening right now? What's needed? Maybe more kindness, compassion, gentleness is needed. Or maybe there's some stability here and I'm feeling pretty clear and I want to go deeper. That's the capacity. I feel like I can be with this energy of anger and let it move through, or the energy of grief, or whatever it is. So that we're able to relax and release. And with compassion, kindness, and patience, we can allow the energies and the emotions and the anxieties to pass through without identifying or acting on them or getting caught. We can relax, let things pass through, and there isn't as much resistance. And when there is resistance, we're aware of that. Whoa, there's a lot of reactivity here to this fear. Oh, there's more kindness. I need to rebuild a sense of capacity before I can be with this. And so that whenever we get caught, we have compassion for being caught. And that what sometimes helps is having a greater perspective. And by that, I mean, sometimes what happens is maybe we're fairly settled and something arises that triggers us and it gets real, it's like we fall into it. It takes up all the airspace or all our view or whatever it is. And we're lost in it for a little bit. And then we might notice that we're lost in it and it's still filling up all the space. And it can be helpful then to do one of two things. One is to go, what else am I aware of? And that might be, oh, I'm aware of my feet in contact with the earth. Or I might open my eyes. Oh, it's raining or whatever. Or I'm hearing this. This is how it is right now. That's past. So you open to what else am I aware of? So it opens it out a bit. Another thing is to have a sense of not ending at our bodies. I mean, the boundary of the body is bigger. And so I'm doing this with my arms. So it's as though suppose I'm all full of frustration and irritation and it's really big. Ah! Then I might have an image in my mind of going like this. Oh, it can take up the whole room. I can let it get as big as it needs to get. It's a wave. It's vast. And there's a lot of unfinished anger business underneath it. And it's, you know, I could even be a volcano and erupt. It's just releasing, releasing, releasing. And that can be really helpful. And then you see that it's energy passing through awareness. It's not the awareness itself. Or the image of the sky. I remember Sharon Salzberg talking about, you know, there might be vultures flying through, all these nasty birds flying through, or beautiful birds flying through, but they're just flying through. And you can let them come and go. And so having a bigger perspective really helps, opening to awareness. And then gradually we start to pick up as we get more experience of when we're about to fall into a contracted space. You know, oh, about to get absorbed into some story or, oh no, another one. Space again. So we start to be able to connect with a core of compassion and caring. And we start being able to notice how it is that suffering is getting built in this particular mind. What is it? What are the habit patterns doing with each other that's leading to this yicky feeling? And then there are choice points. Oh, I don't have to tell that story again. It's gone. I don't have to play that movie again. It was bad the first time I watched it. A replay isn't useful. And there's more choice. I was doing self-retreat for a day a number of months ago. And I tend to have a mind that gets drawn in many directions. And because of that, there are choices to be made where to focus energy. And that creates anxiety. So there's this restless, anxious energy going here, here, here. And I was feeling, how can I help channel this energy so it doesn't get used up in anxiety? You know, I feel like, ugh, I get caught in this. I've been doing it my whole life. And it gets caught up in distraction and useless stuff. And so the sense that I got was if I could have a large enough perspective and keep connecting with that large perspective, I could let the anxious energy move through. And I could acknowledge, whoa, there's a lot of anxious energy here. And just let it be, not identifying with it, not acting on it, not resisting, but noticing it. And then also starting to notice where I get seduced into following it or entranced, so that then there's an option to channel it into something that's positive and healing. And so there are the four wise efforts again. That anxious energy can go into a lot of habit patterns that are just spinning around. Or that energy can be channeled into something that's healing and soothing. And so it can also be used for maintaining calming, having a sense the brain needs energy for healing, soothing, nourishing, and having that sense. And then I could start to notice the cravings arriving. The anxious energy can get caught up in craving for chocolate, for caffeine, for all the I wants, whatever it is for each of us. And I saw that what the brain really wanted is soothing, calming, and that none of those actually do. The tricky part about chocolate is it probably does. Apparently dark chocolate is good for you. The darker it is, the better. And so it can seduce me into saying, this is good for you. But what the brain's wanting and the being is wanting is soothing, calming. And some of that anxious energy, the about to moments, the moments that make it hard for us to just be, the underlying dis-ease that feels I should be doing something. What would it be like to just be, to be with that energy, with kindness and let it move through. And during that same retreat, you know, of course, fears for the world came up. The world is broken and grieving. And I could see how the alarm mechanism in the brain would get activated. And of course, I want it to stop. Of course. So compassion for that. Compassion for caring and releasing and acknowledging this is how it is right now. Being held in kindness with how it is. And then I would see the energy of wanting to know how I can be of service, what can I do? But it can come from an anxious place. And that's, again, I might not know the answer, but an appropriate response comes from wisdom, caring, kindness, respect. And the sense that we do deeply know more than we think we do. We may not know the answers, but we do connect with that sense of caring and respect. And from that can come an appropriate response. And that means an appropriate response for this being, given the capacities that this being has, taking into account all the different conditions in each person's life. What for each of us is an appropriate response? I saw also on that retreat an underlying need for getting it right. That's a habit pattern a lot of us have. Somehow this old belief, if only I can get it right, the suffering will stop. And often we pick that up as children who are in situations of trauma feel, if only I can get it right, the suffering will stop. And it hasn't stopped because I haven't gotten it right. That can be a belief that people with trauma feel. It's still happening to me because I haven't got it right. And so kindness towards that, really deep caring. It's not about getting it right. It isn't. This deep caring just as we are. However we are. And then also kindness to this basic human drive to be accepted, to belong to the tribe. It's a survival instinct. Without approval, we can be abandoned. So the nervous system and the hindbrain can get triggered if there's loss of approval or of caring. And so we're understanding that and being kind. And the more inner kindness and inner acceptance there is, the less dependency on external. I think that's the biggest gift I've received from the practice, is that when I relax and release, what's here is love. That love is, the more I let go of a sense of self, the more love there is. And that love, the love of the Dharma, is unconditional and is there. So when the more we practice and connect with that, this kindness, this love melts the frozen pieces. It starts to gradually thaw all these difficult places. And sometimes I've even visualized that gradual thawing or imagining that thawing, not even having to know what's being thawed, but just this deep allowing in of compassion, kindness, caring. And so then, as we let that in, we can also still keep connecting with wise effort, because we can see that the muscles of kindness and perseverance and mindfulness and discipline get flabby. If we haven't been keeping up our exercises, we're not so fit anymore. So we do have to recruit and practice. It's really important. And it doesn't matter how many years we've been practicing, we still need to do it, to allow it to be. It gets easier the more years we've practiced. Isn't so hard to restart. But I notice for myself, and I've been practicing for 30 plus years, I still need to reconnect. Okay, persevere. What's happening right now? What's happening in the body? Reminding myself, just as someone said this morning, peaceful, ease, calm, presence. And then whatever shows up, be there for it. Oh, it's like this right now. There's triggering. There's impatience. There's having a fit. This is a having a fit moment. This is what it's like. What else am I aware of? So we're continuing to have the energy be wise effort, wise use of energy, cultivating these beautiful states. And that could be nature, really paying attention to beauty and to have an intention to spread generosity and kindness. If you go on that website and read some of the stories, read them, see ones you like, share them with people. I just read this about people being generous rather than, oh God, did you hear about that? And if you do listen to the news, only listen once a day. We don't have to hear this negative stuff more than once. And then to be aware of the kind of media you're watching. Are we watching things that are always violent and that have unpleasant negative endings? And it's not that those things don't happen in life, but is that what we want to feed the brain with? What helps me personally cultivate stability? So we're continuing to give a message to our brains to relax, to conserve energy, to be calm, and finding whatever ways we can to support that. So we can replace fear and anxiety with love, knowing that fear and anxiety will arise. We can't stop that, but we can start to respond differently, replacing irritation and judging, because this is how it is now. It's like this. Is it helping to be irritable and judging about this? Replacing resistance with, this isn't great, but this is an opportunity to be with something in a different way. And when there's hypervigilance, having a sense of aliveness, the energy of being alive, rather than the energy of being on alert. You can feel the difference. There's this contraction in the body and sympathetic overdrive. And that we can be alive and have energy be bright, clear, here. Can feel that. And we can be calm and alive. So we can be calm with bright energy. Story that I like Rebecca Solnit, who's a writer and editor, and she had an article called A Paradise Built in Hell about the extraordinary communities that arise in disasters and how people come together to support, rescue, feed each other, and so forth. And when she interviewed people after and they spoke about how people helped them, how they helped others, she said there was joy in their faces. And it revealed an unmet need for community, connection, purposefulness, and meaningful work. And so those are important to all of us. And so she ends by saying, the people who are brave enough, resourceful enough, and generous enough already exist. And they may not be film stars or sports stars or take up any space in the media, but they exist. And so connecting with that possibility is so helpful, remembering that. And honoring when we're feeling in a difficult space. Sometimes we're honoring and allowing our feelings to be there without interruption. But it's important to titrate it, allow a little bit at a time. And then we can give the emotion, we can look at the emotions from a bit more space. So we can establish stillness of the body, movement of the breath, and then allow a little bit. So really respecting what each of us have the capacity for. When I was quoting from Ruth King before, she had this phrase, I think, at the end of one of the passages I read that really moved me. And she talked about the earth being like a black or brown body, like all those people who that category applies to, suffering from oppression and domination. And so the earth too is also under assault. And so it's this caring that we're establishing to be able to open a little bit to what's true in the world and at the same time take care of ourselves. And just this knowing that the people who are brave enough, resourceful enough, and generous enough do already exist. And that we can support and connect with each other. We can move out into connection and feel that. And so allow your eyes to close for a moment. And have a sense of your body, mind, and heart just as it is in this moment. softening, allowing whatever is here with kindness, allowing the muscles to release, the body to relax. May this body be held in kindness, just as it is. And then, perhaps to put a hand on your chest or on your lap and have a sense of soothing for whatever difficulty you might have been experiencing today. This is hard sometimes. May I be with this with kindness. And feeling the touch, both the hand caring and the body receiving. I care about this body. And allowing a sense of space, allowing what's here, allowing space for what's here. And may each of us here, all of us, be held in kindness and well-being. And allow a sense of releasing, of releasing whatever has been difficult for you today. Receiving friendliness, releasing difficulties. And as you go out into walking or stretching, allowing an unfolding of whatever it is that's needed for you right now. Be open to receiving, not doing, just receiving, caring, kindness, this reflection. How might I take care of myself? What's important and needed for this body, mind, and heart? What matters to me in my life?